sorry, biscuits and packets of milk. And then, you know, we have a bit of change and we thought, what else do we buy? We bought some pencils. And we go to the school and we hand over the pencil, everything. And the pencils especially to one of the directors. And she just breaks down in tears and like, well, okay, what's happening? So it turns out a day before, they were just saying how much they need pencils before the week begins. It's like, wow, because that's an odd combination, milk and pencils, unless you want the pencil to, you know, open the packet with. Then the next day, they were going to host the community, the parents from the dump site, and the kids all together. They were expecting, I don't know if it was 300 or 400 people, kids and adults together, but 500 people came, so they had more than what they had expected, and so they hadn't quite budgeted for 500 people. Guess what? They had milk and biscuits to add to the whole thing. Isn't it amazing how God just works? It's not a strange voice, oh, Uber. I know you're not a taxi, but Uber, please buy some milk. You know, it's just amazing that it's in the everydayness of life that God moves, and all that we need to do is step in obedience to that. So again, thank you very much for always being part of this community through your giving, and especially through, for us, generosity is a big thing. We want to be able to give away food, visit the vulnerable. We want to be able to do that every other time. So thank you very much. Now, last Sunday, we went a bit over time, so I will try my best to compensate for that. So I'll try to be short today. I think we went over by 15 minutes, but it depends on who you ask. If you ask Sam, he thinks it was 20 minutes. If you ask me, it was 15. So today I'll try and be short, and so 5 minutes each week. I'll pay you back in the next 3 weeks. Okay? So could you take down the it's a bit too heavy. So you know, when many of us were kids, if you were asked what superpower you'd prefer if you could get one, what superpower would you have preferred if you could get one? Let me just a sample. Superman, the I X-ray vision and all that. Anyone else? Invisible. I heard something. Yes. What? Freeze. Zzz, you know, like freeze there. Okay. If you didn't watch cartoons, I'm sorry. This is us reliving our childhood. Anyway, so one of the common superpowers kids would have preferred is being invisible. I heard someone say that. But, you know, quite honestly, kids preferred whichever superpower of the movie or cartoon they just watched. And it's like Jobs. They see a policeman and like, oh, I want to grow up and be a police officer. Then they see a doctor. No one ever loved doctors. But, you know, so I remember one day, I'm watching Peter Pan, one of the movies on Peter Pan played by, what's his name, Robin Williams. Anyone has seen that? Yeah. So Peter Pan never grows up and he can fly. And the idea of this movie is that as long as you hold on to your happy thought, you never grow up and you can still do these fun things like flying. But Peter Pan loses his happy thought, he grows up and he can't fly anymore. And so he's taken back to Neverland, and he's supposed to fly because he's needed to save Neverland. He is Peter Pan, and he just can't fly. So they take him up high in the sky, and they just drop him because he better find his happy thought. So he finds his happy thought, and he starts flying right before he hits the ground. Now, guess what? Edgar was watching that movie, and he thought, oh, boy, I have a happy thought. So I go to the top of my building. Don't worry, it was just 4 stories. I go to the top of my building and I'm thinking, if I jump off this building and hold on to my happy thought, thank God, a fear of height kicked in. I was like, yeah, maybe not today, you know. But you see, that's the thing. We want what we see. And so one of the things that was pretty common is, sorry, I was still talking about superpowers, is just being invisible. But you see, the truth is, no one really wants to be invisible. Like, no one wants not to be seen. You can only want to be invisible because people can see you, and you know you want to be a bit mischievous, or you know it's kind of cool. But the honest truth is, no one wants to be passed up for things. If there was a party that took place and you could have been invited and they didn't invite you, it hurts. You hear about it the next morning. Oh wow, they had a party. They didn't call me. What's happening? They're behaving as if you don't exist. They actually are behaving as if you're invisible, and that really hurts. It hurts when people we love behave as if we don't exist. Now, here's the interesting thing. Even people we don't really like, even people whom we probably look down upon, maybe because of moral stuff, whatever reason you look down upon them, when they pass you up for stuff, it hurts. Because there's something about us that wants to be included, that wants to be seen. We want to be visible. We're not just faces. We have a name. You know, someone walks into the room, you hope they say hi to you. If they say hi to everyone else, you're like, whoa, okay, hello, I'm right here. There's something about how we were created. We want to be visible. And here is a good example. When two gossiping friends talk about the other friend they don't really like, they go, oh, do you know she had a party? I wouldn't have gone for it. Why are you even talking about it? Because it does hurt, even if you don't like that person, that they passed you up. You know, so maybe gate crashing isn't such an unusual thing. It's a response to a human desire to be part of what's happening. And it hurts just as bad as being hurt physically. The receptors in our brains that flare up when we are hurt physically are the same receptors that flare up even when we are excluded, when we are invisible. So you see, it becomes a very, very important thing for your community to acknowledge you, to know you by name. I know people who've walked away from churches, walked away from communities because they said, no one knew me. It hurts, right? And it becomes a very important question even for believers. Does God really know my name? Does God really see me? Am I just one more face in the sea of faces, or does God really care about me? Well, I know that God so loved the world, but does he actually know that Peter exists, that Bill exists? Does God really know that Edward exists? Are you just a face in the sea of faces? No one wants to be invisible, and quite honestly, even in our relationship with God, we want to know that God does quite see us. And unfortunately, so many people walk around feeling invisible. Maybe they come from such homes. It's interesting. I'm listening to some of the prayers that people are making, both the prayers we gather for prayer and just for the whole team that's serving. And as Caroline was praying, the truth is some people come from families where no one sees them. And then they walk into church and they hope someone will see them. So if they're not seen at home, and they're not seen at church, what do you think they walk around thinking? Well, God doesn't quite see me. If God loves everyone, maybe not me. Maybe I've not yet made a mark enough for God to know me, to see me, to hear me. The interesting question, one interesting question that I hear a lot is, does God really hear my prayer? Or just the flat out phrase, I keep praying and I'm sure God doesn't hear me. So it's like, well, God probably hears everyone else, but I don't think he hears me. And you see, for our Father, we are not just faces. You are not invisible to God. He actually does see you. Not just the sea of people. He actually does see each one of us, even as he sees all of us. So that's what I want us to explore today. Let's pray. Father, may you come and ignite your love in our hearts. Lord, may you come and make us aware that you are here, you're holding our hand, that, Lord, you can see each of our faces. So Holy Spirit, I invite you that you will quicken our spirits and just that only your words will be heard. And only the things you can do will be happening as we sit here together. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus always had a way of seeing people even in crowds, seeing individuals even in crowd. And today we will look at one of those stories. I think it's something he did all the time. So for example, before we get into that story, I just want to tell you another story in passing. There was a day a rich fella went up to Jesus and asked him a question. One, many rich people didn't like Jesus because he was talking about justice and they didn't like what it meant for them. So, and then the other thing, it's a big crowd. And so he asked Jesus, what can I do so that I can also have this eternal life that you keep talking about? And Jesus told him, well, do this and do that. And he self-righteously said, you know what? I've done all that. And the writer of this particular story says, and Jesus looked at him and loved him. So it wasn't just about, let me answer one more question. It wasn't just about, let me show him how much he's not done. It was about Jesus seeing one person even in a crowd. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And I think that's what Jesus kept doing. Even in crowds, he could see individuals who needed to be seen. People are not invisible to him. And this guy probably never ended up agreeing with him. We don't know. The story doesn't quite tell us. Because he walks away. Because Jesus tells him, go sell everything you have and then come follow me. Well, I have a lot. So he walks away. But even then, Jesus still looked at him and loved him. So does Jesus still look at us and love us, even in the middle of the crowd? Does Jesus stop everything he is doing? Because he was going somewhere and everything just stopped because this one person had a question. Does Jesus still stop the great healing crusade or the great Sunday celebration? Does Jesus stop his busy schedule to respond to one person? And I think this is what he was very, one of the things he was very good at. People who needed Jesus' attention always left feeling heard and seen. And so that's my prayer, that when we come here, you will leave this place living heard, feeling heard and seen. And the truth is, we can't quite do that fully. So we keep praying that God will just ignite something in you, an awareness, an assurance that he is seeing you and he is hearing you. Because one of the biggest measures of whether you're being loved is whether you're getting attention. Now, Will, let's be honest. There are some people who need this much attention and, you know, it's a different story. But everyone wants... Sorry. So everyone wants to know that they get attention so that they know they're being loved. And Jesus was good at that. He would stop everything to respond to one person. And so this is one of those stories. And so let us look at it together. It's in Luke 8, 43 to 48. It's going to be on the screen. In the crowd that day was a woman who for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhages, a lot of bleeding. She had spent every penny she had on doctors, but no one had been able to help her for 12 years. She slipped in from behind and touched the edge of Jesus' robe, and at that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped, her bleeding stopped. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" So this woman, Jesus is in a crowd, and she just sneaks in and touches the edge of Jesus' robe. She gets well, and Jesus turns around. Okay, somebody touched me. Who touched me? When no one stepped up, Peter said, "But Master, seriously, we've got crowds of people on our hands. Look at what we're dealing with. Dozens of people are touching you. How do you mean, who touched me?" So Jesus insisted, no. Someone touched me. I felt power discharging from me. Someone touched me. When the woman realized that she couldn't remain hidden, she knelt trembling before him in front of all the people. She blurted out her entire story, why she touched him, and how at the same moment she was healed. Jesus said, "Daughter, you took a risk trusting me, and now you are healed and whole. Live well, live blessed." Let's again think through that story. One, this lady was legally shunned. Now, you know, Jesus completely transformed our civilization. In our world today, it's abnormal. We don't have such things enshrined in our laws that when someone is sick, they shouldn't be around people. We don't have such things. We have few cases where if someone is very contagious, they're locked up. Not because, oh wow, that person is bad news, but because of just to keep the rest of the population safe. But in this society, they had laws that allowed people to legally shun others. Even in our society where women still have to fight for justice, it is nothing compared to what this woman was going through. Because she was legally shunned, one, because of being a woman, she wasn't good enough. She wasn't counted among full human beings. So if in our society women have to work twice as hard to be recognized, and which is still very sad. In that society, they had to work exponentially hard to be recognized. That's the society she's living in. Then she was bleeding, and it's a weird thing. There was something about blood that the Jews just didn't want to. It just made you unclean. So she was unclean, and not just for a month. She was unclean for 12 years. So no one could be around her. She couldn't even go for worship. No one could touch her. This is just ridiculous. Because you were sick and because you're a woman. So this is just weird. And so she was in that place. She was in that place where she possibly had lost her husband, if she had one, or couldn't be married. One, because if you're unclean for a month, that's something else. If you're unclean for 12 years, I'm not sure many men would like that idea. So she probably lost her husband, or she couldn't get married. And she had lost all her money. Everything she had, just trying to get better. So this is someone in a very bad place. Think about it. Every time we fall sick and it goes on, just take a day and you're falling sick. It messes up with your mind. Okay, if you were sick for a whole month, it messes up with your mind. Because we are one, we are whole. So what's happening in our bodies affects our emotions, affects our spirituality. So if you're sick for a month, you start asking, what's going on? Some people ask, does God really care? Some people ask, what have I done? It messes up with your emotions. It messes up with your spirituality. Now, think of a woman who had been sick for 12 years. She was in a terrible place emotionally, spiritually, socially. She was destroyed. No self-esteem, you know? So I think, in this society, it wasn't unusual for people to touch the edge of the cloak of the rabbis. People believed that they have some mystical power. But, so she probably heard that Jesus healed people. So my question is, when everybody else just goes up to Jesus and says, I want you to heal my child, or Master, save me. When everybody else would just show up at Jesus' face because Jesus had a reputation of touching the untouchables, why wouldn't she? Why does she just decide, okay, I'm just going to sneak in and sneak out? Because she this kind of thing would just mess up who you think you are. She didn't think she's worth being seen. She's probably lived 12 years feeling invisible, and she thinks that's where she belongs. Even for Jesus, who's been touching the untouchables, she still feels pretty untouchable. Even for Jesus. So in my mind, I think she decides, okay, I'm not worthy of just showing up, so maybe I'm going to try touch the edge of his clothes and just sneak out. So if I get well, that's good. If I don't, at least no one did see me. I imagine that she had to even cover herself up. And don't forget, she's a woman. So there are a lot of things that just couldn't allow her to just show up at Jesus' face and say, I need some healing. She just needed enough time to sneak in and sneak out because she's been used to being invisible. She is in a place where she feels, I am invisible and that's my place. Now, as before we go on, I wanna invite you. I believe that when God brings our attention to particular stories or particular things, he's actually speaking in the present to us. So if you're here and you need healing for anything, if any of this story resonates with you, whether it's physical healing of that nature or just being ostracized by society for just something you couldn't control, we would like to pray with you after the celebration. So our prayer teams will be up front, and we'd love just to invite God into that space. Anyway, so going back to the story, so Jesus stops and publicly asks, who touched me? Now, Jesus was so fond of saying, most of the times he healed people, he'd say, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. I think it's kind of contradictory that he asks in public, who touched me? Knowing too well that she will have to declare in public and then it will have to just spread that Jesus did something. So this was just not the norm, but Jesus asks publicly. And anyway, so I like what Peter tells him. Okay, Jesus, look around you. How many people do you see? So many. Everyone's touching you. Can we move on? And Jesus says, no. Wait up. There's someone who touched me. And, you know, I think quite honestly, Peter is right. There are dozens of people touching Jesus. And maybe, so if this was a cultural thing, that people would try to touch the hem of the garments of rabbis, how many people are probably doing the same thing? You know, how many people are probably getting other things just from touching Jesus? Maybe just the feeling of, oh, wow, I got close enough to touch Jesus. How many people are actually getting healed for other things? People were touching Jesus for different things, and maybe they were receiving different things just by touching Jesus. But there was one touch. Even in the midst of dozens of touches that Jesus was getting, there was one touch that he was paying attention to. Even in the midst of so many people getting their healing from touching Jesus, there was one healing that Jesus was paying attention to. Yes, everyone is touching me, but there is one touch. Who touched me? And look at how gentle Jesus responds to her. He calls her daughter in public. You know, for those people, Jesus was a rabbi. He was a respected teacher. For those who got revelation and for us in you know, this community of faith, Jesus is the Son of God. So for the Son of God to stop and say, my daughter, you had faith in me, that's a big deal. And I think this is one of the reasons Jesus was stopping for this one person to call her my daughter. Because she has been used to living in the fringes of society, and now she's in the center of Jesus' world. She has been used to being nothing, and now she's everything. Because everything Jesus was doing has stopped just so Jesus can say, my daughter, you are healed. She probably would have been healed, whether she told the story or not. She was healed immediately. But Jesus stopped everything for this conversation. She was in the fringes of society, and now she's in the center of Jesus' world. From nothingness, she was now in the center of God's whole world. The eye of the Son of God was looking into her face. The voice of the Son of God was speaking gently to her. And you see, here's the thing. She wasn't just restored physically. She was restored spiritually. This was the Son of God. And other translations say, go and sin no more. So she was restored spiritually too. She was restored socially. Now think about it. She probably had no husband or lost her husband. And then she becomes the woman who Jesus in public called my daughter. She just becomes eligible immediately. Oh, who are you going to marry? Well, the woman who Jesus considers her daughter. That's the one. She'd lost all her money, but if she was in business, everybody wants her for a business partner. Well, who are you partnering with? Well, you remember the story of the woman Jesus stopped everything for? Yeah, that's my business partner. Jesus was healing her even socially, restoring her. And God still wants to do that for us. Some of us have just had rumors after rumors destroying our reputation. Or so what, even if it were true? And people have shunned you. Jesus is in the business of restoring us back to community. And this is what was happening to the lady. Her whole life changed. And ain't that just amazing? In one encounter, 12 years just reversed. In one encounter with Jesus, 12 years just reversed. And Jesus would stop for you. He was in the habit of stopping for people just because they wanted his attention. Jesus would stop in a crowd. Jesus would stop everything he is doing just to hear you. When everyone is touching Jesus, your touch still matters. When everyone is in the building singing out, your voice still matters. When everyone is praying and calling on God's name, your call still gets to God's heart. When everyone is pressing in, your call does not go unheard. He's not too busy to just stop everything and say, who touched me? Yes, I know dozens of people are touching me, but there is one touch. There's one touch that I want to pay attention to. So it doesn't matter. You might be in the fringes of society, but God is inviting you in. And you know, here's the thing. Human beings, because we're talking about God's love, and we can't help but realize that human beings have different love languages. Now, by that I mean people receive and speak love in different ways. So if you buy a flower for a guy, let me just not stick to traditional norms. If you buy a flower for a guy who prefers to sit down at Java and have coffee with you, you might be doing something really loving, but he won't get it. He probably will not get it. If your wife is the kind of lady who needs to hear thank you, who needs to hear you're beautiful, you might provide all the food in the world and, you know, pay for everything, but she probably thinks you don't love her. Because people just, it's weird. People receive love in different ways, and it's complicated because people keep growing, people keep changing. It's like we are called to learn every day. Every day, it's a question of, for those of us who have people around us that we love, and I hope it's all of us, we're called to learn every day. How can I speak love to this person? It's not, I learned it 5 years ago when I proposed to you. Girl, you better be okay. You know, it's not that. And you know, it's this whole communication thing. So, you know, for instance, guys don't get hints. So ladies, stop trying hints. They don't work. If you need something, just say, I need this, and he'll probably get it that way. If you think, wow, look at this, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's really beautiful, huh? So anyway, so it's this weird thing. It's really like going to the middle of Kenya, in the heartland of Kenya, somewhere where they barely even speak Swahili, and trying out some Chinese. Like, what's, you're probably saying the best words, but you are not communicating. It's the same thing with love. unless you're speaking in the language they understand, you are not communicating. So my primary love language is touch. The second one is touch. The third one is touch me again. And so, you know, I sneak that into the values of the church. And so that's why one on our value board, it says we give hugs. That's because I need someone to give me a hug when I come to church. It's, you know, I'm a smart guy, you know. Anyway, and for someone else, it's something different. So if someone was just buying me gifts, I'm like, wow, thanks. Does that person really love me? They did. Chat, do you love me? You hate hugs. Anyway, so chat doesn't love hugs, and I keep hugging her because I'm like, I love you. Like, anyway, Jesus loves you. You know, what if Jesus, instead of healing this lady, because we know that Jesus turned water into wine, what if Jesus turned her water at home into wine? That's not what she needed. She needed healing. Well, it's a great thing. She could probably sell it. She could start a business with it. But that's not what she needed. What if Jesus just healed her and said goodbye? Well, that's not all she needed. She needed healing. She needed to be restored. You see, God knows exactly what our love language is. God knows exactly what our love language is. And I enjoy music. Now, there was an old lady who was part of Trinity Vineyard. One of the old ladies who was once part of Trinity Vineyard hated our music. How can you hate our band? I don't want to tell you guys that at that time, I was leading the band. So it was very personal. Oh, I actually did say it. Anyway, so she didn't like, she loved our talks, but she hated our music, and I just couldn't get it. Like, what are you talking about? You know, we don't have the best music, but come on, we walk our heads off for it. But you see, that's me. I experience God's presence primarily through music. It's really, really special to me. The other thing I love is history. Oh, I'm a freak for history. I would sit down and just go through the Roman Empire, how it started, when it collapsed, why it collapsed, and then I love Kenyan history, and my dad used to know government secrets. That's what he'd tell us. This is top government secret. So I would sit at my dad's feet, and he would tell us why Kenyatta did this and why Raila's father did this. I'm like, Dad, how do you know these things? Shh. Top government secret. So for some reason, I just love history. And if you study Kenyan history, you get into British history because they kind of stayed here for a while, you know? They overstayed their welcome. It's okay. But you get into British history, and I went all the way back to King Henry VIII. You know, the guy who broke away from the Catholic Church. I went all the way back there. What does it do? I don't know. I just love history. So, you know, in 2016, and I've probably said this story again, in 2016, I was out in the UK for a worship conference, and oh my word, it was mind-blowing. So during the worship, I heard the Holy Spirit say, sit down, don't sing. I'm like, what? But I love to sing to you. No, sit down, don't sing. And over again, I just felt God's love wash over me, wash over me. I couldn't bear it. For those who've fallen in love, you know that emotion that sits on your chest? It's like, oh, I'm probably going to cry. So I was just hoping I don't cry. I was really hoping I don't cry. Macho men are going, what emotion are you talking about? I was really hoping I don't cry. And thankfully, I made it through the 4 days of the conference without crying. But imagine that, just sitting there and God's presence washing over me. He was saying, I love you. And I was doing nothing, because sometimes we think I have to do stuff for God to love me. No, this was God singing over me, because God sings over us. I wasn't singing. I wasn't clapping. I was just standing there, and God's presence is washing over me. This was God singing over me, and that it just never left. So I go into the streets of London, and I'm just walking around, walking through history. I have never been around so much treasure, so much gold, mostly taken from different countries, but that's not the point. It's all here, you know? It's all here. Like, wow, taken from a kingdom in China. What is it doing here? Anyway, it belongs to the queen now. And it's just amazing. I'm walking through history. And I was in Trafalgar Square. And I heard God's voice saying, I am just spoiling you. And I just broke down. Someone had to walk me across the road. This was not me giving God anything. This was God singing over me. This was God just loving on me. And that's the point. We all experience God in different ways. We all have different love languages. If I started talking history to someone, they'd probably go, wow, you're talking a lot. But I'd be like passionate and boiling over because I love this. And God knew that. God knew I love music. So he gave me a bit of music for 4 days and then just history. It was mind-blowing. God knows exactly how to speak love to you. Even if it is rain, it might not make sense to anyone else. It might look dumb, but it's your thing in God. So embrace it. Even if it looks weird, even if it is, oh, I keep finding, every time I'm desperate to know if God loves me, I keep finding coins on the streets. Yes, and that's God saying, I love you. Embrace it. Well, everyone else will go, well, that's that's a bit weird. That's fine. We all have different ways of receiving love. And Jesus knows that. For some people, it's showering, you know, having a hot shower at 6 a.m. And I know that very few men fall into this category, but it's fine. You know, it could be seeing little children walking around and seeing the joy in their faces. If that's how God says, I love you, embrace it. It could be looking into the eyes of the people you love, whether they're your spouses or your kids. If that is God shouting at you, I love you, embrace it. Because we've narrowed things down to the Bible says so. And I know the Bible says, but we have different love languages, and Jesus isn't scared of stopping everything to say, I love you. I know there are a dozen people touching me, but who touched me? I know there are a dozen people calling out to me, but someone would think, well, it rained on everyone, dude. Yes, it did. But it rained on you specifically. We don't understand why love languages work the way they do. I don't get why someone wants to be given a gift just so that they feel loved. I think that's pretty expensive. But it is who they are. Well, I feel like I'm expensive to love. God had to take me all the way to Europe. But, you know, that's not the point. The point is, God knows how to speak love to you, and he's been speaking love. Embrace it. For some of us, it is actually intellectual. So you read the arguments in Scripture, and you go, wow, I know God loves me. Why? Because I can see it. If that is you, embrace it. And this is why it's important. See, I love thinking, I love arguments, I love investigating. So sometimes I just get into a spiral, maybe a downward spiral, I don't know, but it's just, there's a war in my mind as I engage with different ideas. I am the kind of guy who would start an argument with these ideas and finish off with these ideas. And I love it. It's just who I am. That's how God has made me. Now, the danger is I get into very, very dark places in my head. So my head is not a safe place. There's a war in there. That's not a safe place for love. Because I'll just be tearing it up. I'll be tearing every argument, every idea apart. That's how I'm made. So this is not a safe place for me. So every time there's a war in my head, and that's all the time, it feels amazing when I'm in a room with worship music and I just immediately know that God loves me. So that's why it's important for you to know how God speaks love to you. For some people, they just read it and they get it, and I read it, and I get it. But I'm the kind of person who says, what if? I'm the kind of person who asks. So that's not a safe place. But for someone else, it's the safest place. So embrace that as I embrace mine. I'm going to call the band back on stage as we wind up. So if you love the sound of birds, and when the birds are chirping, God is actually saying, I love you, embrace it. Well, the birds could be looking for mates, but the birds could be chirping also just to show that God loves you. If you love sunset, and every time you're watching one, God is saying, I love you, get out there and watch every sunset you can. Because some of us will need to go to that place. Some of us will need a reminder that God loves us over and over again. So I invite you to stand. And just embrace God's love for you. So I want you to do something with me as the band just takes it away. I want you to close your eyes with me for a minute. See, the world does one thing very good, is throw doubt at us. The world tells us, well, that's no way God shows love. But if you were in that place and God was showing love to you, I just want you to mentally go back to that place. Just remember that place. Because some of us will have to go back there. And some of you will just need to take note of those special times because they will keep you through very dark moments. Yes, there are 1,000 people touching Jesus right now, but your touch matters. Yes, it's warm for everyone, but your warmth matters. Yes, there are hundreds of people praying right now, but your prayer touches the heart of God. Yes, the birds were chirping and everyone could hear it, but you could hear it differently. God's not afraid of stopping everything to say, who touched me? So that I can speak to them.